When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, they proved through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land and of the free and the home of the brave?
Good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Corpus Christi. Check in with old Cliff Webb this morning. Captain Cliff, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, watching that weather above me. You guys kind of getting it over there.
Yeah, it's staying right off the beach right now. But
yeah.
Some of it's kind of coming inland, but, well, it's to be seen yet. We'll figure it out as we go along, man.
Yeah, hoping about it going down the coast and you guys can get out. But
there's a lot of tournament fishing action going on up this way, so Matagorda and Galveston. Yeah. So
I know they had a lot last weekend. Yeah, they had some last weekend down South Potter. My good friend Barry did really good. He won two first Friday, and then Saturday he won a big tournament down there in South Potter, like 120 boats, and they won. Awesome. It was really good. They fished with Chase's Blackwell's dad, Mark Blackwell. And they just killed it. So anyway, congratulations to Barry.
What were they fishing for? Skipjack,
trout, and
drum, sheephead. No, I'm just teasing.
You know how those guys are.
I know.
I mean, the slot is the only reason they win it, because it's all about a flounder, and you know, Barry's one of the best flounder fish I've ever seen. He caught like a 4-pounder or something. I can't remember what it was, and it kind of put the hammer on them. When you catch a big old flounder, when you got 2 8-pound redfish, and of course the trout's a slot, you know, between there's not much of 2.3 on the trout, so it's really all about, you know, two big reds and a flounder. And,
right.
And they worked hard to get it, but it's been good, man. It's been really good. But I've fished every day since I've talked to you last. This has been stupid.
You've been hitting it hard, brother.
No, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't sleep and just catching so many big trout. It's just been really good, Mickey. God, what a good week. I started out this week on Monday, and I've had two or three times, Jeremy. He brought another guy with him, older guy. Both these guys are really good fly fishermen. They go to Alaska and fish flies and stuff. And they bring a young man with them that doesn't fish a whole lot, and he is so fired up about going fishing. I cannot wait to take this guy fishing. You know how when you get somebody to boat that just can't wait to catch a fish? You know, you just want to help. You know, he's just, you know, don't want to do nothing wrong. He just wants to catch fish. So
eager beaver.
I just love that. Fired up. He's more fired up than I was. That's unusual. But so I pull out, and there's no boats in the bay. There's nothing. I mean, I'm going down to Baffin Bay. I look both ways. I don't see a boat. Nothing.
What?
No, zero. Nothing. Nothing. for 5 hours, never saw a single boat anywhere, anywhere. So I said, on the way down, I'm thinking to myself, man, I know where the giant school of reds are, and they're slop. They're 27 to 30-inch reds. There's hundreds of them. I know where they're at. And the only reason I don't go by them because I mostly have trout snobs, and they don't want redfish. But right. I got a young man here that wants to see some line come off that spinning reel. Uh-huh. And so I go past Yarborough Bay, and, you know, Yarborough's a bay that's south of Bath, and it's a great redfish bay. And it is slick pond. I mean, it's like a milk pond. It's slick, buddy. It's slick, calm. And I go, and I don't see a single boat in that bay. I go, this is nuts. There's
just
these tire boats running. You know, there's usually tire boats running these reds, and they ruffle, and they all pile in there, and it's a rodeo. They get on these reds, you know. So I pull up there where these reds should be, and they're there every year for 40 years. This school's going to be on this point. And I pull up there, and there they are. They ruffle, and there's hundreds of fish up on top of the water.
Yeah.
So I drop the trolling motor down, and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? They don't really see that. And I told that young man with that spinner, I said, throw right over there. Wham, he hooked a red, and that line starts spinning off that reel, you know. Then I think Jeremy throws out there, and about a 30-pounder comes to top, and thank God he missed it, or we'd have been there all day.
We'd still be there.
We'd still be there, you know. But make a long story short, we hosed in redfish on them schools, and I put a couple guys out waiting, and I would get up in that flat at slick calm, and I'd put my two guys out. And I go way around them and then gun the trolling motor and gun that trolling motor and make them wake and push those fish right up to them. It was so much fun. I could push those big pods of redfish right by them and they would lay them out, you know. But that was kind of fun, you know. But then by about 9 or 10 o'clock, it started getting hot, you know. And thank God we're in the water. They've right. had enough of those bottoms. They've had enough bottom feeders. So I said, hey, man, let's go catch some trout. And I go to the spot and I pull behind this line of spoil islands. And this spoil island is full of shell and rocks and stuff. It's a great spot, but you normally can't fish it because it's usually rough and muddy in there. It was just gin clear, and we probably caught 30 or 40 trout on these spoil islands. Not big. I caught one probably about 5 pounds, but just nice, solid trout, mm-hmm. you know, and able to stay in the water while it was so hot. But that was the only day I fished the bay, and then I got to there, had a really good trip, you know. Then I got on my beach deal, and it's just been driving me nuts, the amount of fish I'm seeing on the beach, making God almighty, you know. And I go out Tuesday morning, and I get a real early morning bite, but I don't, they just blowing it up, won't hit it. I caught one about maybe 5 pounds, and so I go back to the house, and I said, man, I'm going to get Carol. She's about 10 o'clock, and by this time, you can see these big trout coming down the bar, and, you know, Carol loves the sight cast fish. She's really good at it. And I get out there, Mickey, and there's nothing where I was. I can't believe there's no bait or nothing. So I'm cruising down the beach. I go down about a mile down the beach. I look up in front of me, and this bar's kind of pinched to the bank right there. And all these mullet are just in a circle, and stuff's in the middle. I'm just wearing them out. Man, they're not skipjack. They're making that popping, sucking noise. They're
Whoa,
not
yeah, that's trout, man. That ain't skippies.
You know, it's just, it ain't skippies, you know. And so I'm throwing that little bitty super spook, that little tiny one, uh-huh. the bayou, whatever they call it. That guy texted me. I still can't. All mine, all the paint's eating off them. I can't even see anything on them. They're all just eating to death. But so I throw that bad boy out there, and boom, I get about a 7.5-pounder right away.
Oh, boy.
And it's a toad, too. It's blowing out of the water, and I'm fighting, you know, and I pull it right up to the beach. It's just like 5 feet from the beach. I grab the leader. I pull it up on the beach, and its head sticks out of the water and throws the lure out, and it's sitting there in the water, and it just swims off. I said, that's okay. I caught it, honey. That's okay. And I walk down about 20 feet, and I'm seeing these mullet jump. And I look back over my shoulder, and Carol is bowed up. I mean, she's throwing that Waterloo carbon mag, her favorite rod. She's got that little John on it, that small little John.
Uh-huh.
And these fish, Mickey, are like 5 feet from the bank, and she sight-casts that fish. She sight-casts that fish within 5 or 10 feet of her. And this fish is a toad. I look back, and she's bowed up. So I'm reeling in. I'm going down there to see her, you know, go get her, and I'm trying to go get the bow grip, and the stupid bow grip's not in the bow grip's not in the truck. I didn't put the bow in the truck.
Oh.
And so about that time, she done gave up on me. And so she's backing up on the beach. She pulled this big old slab.
She dragged it up on the sand.
She dragged it up on the beach like a beach whale. It looks so cool. And I look at it, and it's got this huge back. I mean, it's just big old thick around the gills. I mean, it's like huge. I go, that is a toad. And about that time, it raised its tail up, and I see that big old fly swatter tail. And I go, that is a big fish. And so I run over there, And I stick my hands under the gills, but not in the gills, but kind of.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So you caress it without hurting it. Yeah.
And I raise it up, and like a dummy, I take the hook out of its mouth. And I said, God, Carol, that's a toad. She's going, oh, my God, I can't wait to get a picture. And it's got this big wad of sand on it. And so I take it over the beach and lay it into Warsaw. And that sucker jumps out of my hand and swims off. And the look I got, the look I got was
priceless.
Not good.
Uh-oh.
You know, you're still all week. I've been,
what'd you have for supper that night? Peanut butter and jelly? Oh, boy.
It was not pretty, dude. It was not good. But she caught the fish. You know, that fish was 7.5 pounds. At least we held the rod. It was over 28 inches. So it was really a big fish. And the funny thing happened 2 years ago. The same thing happened. She catched one about 29. And my good buddy runs over there to help her, takes the top water out of her mouth, and raises it down the water, and it jumps out of her hand and loses her fish. So that's two big fish that we fumbled the ball.
Lesson learned, folks. If you beach one and you want to get sand off of it for a photo, don't take the hook out of it. Wash it off, pick it up, and then get your photo. Oh, God.
You maybe get some pictures of some dirty fish from now on. That's all I can tell you, man.
Boy.
God almighty, so. I've been eating crow all week on that, you know. But anyway.
I'll tell you what would break your heart when you come into a weigh-in at a redfish tournament and you're reaching down in that live well and you pull one out and put him in your weigh bag with, you know, with your good oxygenated water and everything. You reach down and pick up that other one that's real green and amped up, jumps out of your hands, goes over the side of the boat. Tournament over, man.
I've seen it happen here.
I had it happen to me, and it just
no.
I wanted to beat myself to death with a bed slat. Just pick up a bed slat and beat my head in with it. What a dummy.
And that's what I felt about that trout. I know better than that. And those trout are so bad to the bone in the surf. They're so green. This fish was not hurt. That little John was right in the corner of his mouth, and I popped that sucker out, you know, and all I had to do was just, you know, take both hands, or I just casually, and it just flew out of my hands. You know, I just couldn't believe it. But oh well, so
it happens.
I said, well, I know it. You know, so I'm trying to redeem myself, so I actually get her up.
Yeah,
the next
you need
morning
to put Carol on another one, man.
I'm trying. Believe me, I've tried all week. It just hadn't happened. But man, I got her up the next morning at 5:30. You know, she's not happy about that. We're gonna get, honey. I'm gonna get the picture this morning. I catch four, and she gets one and gets off. They just, you know how they do in the surf. One day they bite real good, one day they don't. You know, it's just kind of the way they are. But
that's the way it works. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see y'all catching them toads in the surf like that.
Oh, my God. You know, then
man,
I had
there's
two
just
people
nothing
that,
prettier. When you catch a 7 or 8 pound trout out of the surf and just the strength of that fish and the body, it has a good body weight and a big shoulders, big old wisp broom tail on it. I mean, they're just nothing
they are
finding stud. That is so awesome.
You know, and we're sight casting, Mickey. We're sight casting those fish.
That's even cooler, you know.
Yeah, you know.
When you can see them and throw to them, that is big time.
Yeah, I called two people. I called Doug Pike and I called Kelly Rising to come down. I said, look,
yeah, I saw
Kobe
Kelly came
you.
Down. He had a good fish. He sent me a picture.
That
of
guy can fish. Yeah, that was a stud.
He's a fishing machine.
Yes, man. But we had such a good time hanging out and fishing, sight casting fish. I think one day we sight casted 15 fish.
That's, you know, that's cool. You know, that's and you don't even have to have that many to make it a big time successful trip. You can just catch two or three a piece sight casting like that, and
you know,
big like that.
Yeah,
that's big time.
Most of them turn you down. I mean, most of them will snob you.
Well,
and then
once
in a while, want to turn around and eat it. You know, just
nature
eat it.
Of the beast.
You know, like Kelly said, Kelly threw that little that little bitty one by Mirror Lure.
She pup.
He caught that one on that, and you talk about a blow up. Oh my God! You know, I looked down there, and the water just parched. That thing hit in about a foot of water, and that fish was 6 pounds. You know, solid six on the boga. But that's a good fish for the surf.
That's a good surf runner, man. That's beautiful. There's nothing better than those commode flushing blow ups.
Yeah. And we're not getting no keepers, you know. No, everything's either 13, 14
that's
inches,
right.
Or
well, that's what we fish big, for is big trout. I don't even.
I'd
go the rest of my life without eating a trout if I could catch big fish like that all the time again.
Yeah, that's crazy, you know. But
you get our age, you don't have to kill anything anymore.
No, that's funny how you say that. You know, as we're going on working on deer feeds, I went out and Fred. Of course, Fred does all the work. I kind of hold things for him. Fred's an animal, but anyway, so Fred, last weekend's real hot. And Fred's doing all this stuff, you know, and I'm going, you know, I'm probably not even going to sit in the blind that much. I'm probably not going to kill a whole lot. And these young guys get real fired up in August about filling up stuff, but it's 108 degrees. I mean, how much work can you do in 108 degrees?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
and you know, a lot of days it's getting 112 and 115 down there.
Yeah, and so I'm too old for that.
Popcorn and that.
You know?
All right, well, hang on, Cliff. Let me knock this break out. I'll come right back at you, brother.
All right, man.
BigCashNapper.com. You know, folks, the Big Cash Snapper Tournament, it's wrapping up its first annual series, and they're having a free entry snapper tournament. That's right, no entry fee. Fish anywhere along the Texas coast on Friday, September 5th from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then bring your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas, the next day on Saturday, September 6th. Have your fish there before 6 p.m. First place, $5,000. Second place, $2,500. Third place, $1,500. Also, side pots for Big Snapper, Kingfish, Ling, and Dorado. And then join in after the weigh-in for food, live music, and a fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. Details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:21 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are back.
All right, buddy.
I had two. I had one email and one text, and they were wanting you to tell your story about the shrimp net incident in Tivoli. They want to hear that story again. They said they've already got their Kleenexes out so they can wipe the tears out of their eyes from laughing.
You can't fix stupid, you know, especially when you're 16 years old and you're bulletproof. But yeah, so my family lived over there off Tivoli on the Guadalupe River right there.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that? I've always called it Tivoli.
Well, I've always said Tivola. I've always said Tivola, you know.
Vola?
Whatever, you know.
But it's spelled T-E-V-O-L-I, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Been through there a million times driving down the coast.
Yeah, my parents go way back in there, and grandparents and all that, and spent a lot of time on that Guadalupe River there. You know, my aunts and uncles all live right on the river. And they're all shrimpers, crabbers. They all got shrimp boats and sea drift. I mean, nobody in my entire family is not in the fishing business. And so as a kid, I would really hang out there. And I got one of my cousins, Larry, and during the spring, he loved to go get those big bullfrogs up by Fulton. And these big ponds, you know, they'd hear them and we'd hear those frogs. And so I had a little 16-foot skiff. I think it had like a 25 on it. And I pulled it to Tivoli to pick up Larry. And I left the skiff there two or three days ago, and I left it there at the house, you know. And it doesn't have a trailer. I did something, I think I broke a spring in the trailer, so we slid the boat off on the bank. It's just laying there on the bank. We gotta go get it on the river, you know. So my aunts and uncles they had a big 60-foot shrimp net, and they just had it made. And when they have those shrimp nets made, they tar them. They dip them in tar or something.
They dip
them,
yeah.
Yeah. And so she had it spread out across the yard next to the deal. And it's just 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't see it. And so I got an old LTD rust rat. It's full of rust. And it's my beach car, you know. And so I back up to get that boat. And I didn't know I backed over that net, you know. And so I backed over that shrimp net. We put that boat on top of that car. We tied all down. I mean, it's just a mess up there, you know. Big old boat on top of an LTD, you know. And so I pull out of there. And I didn't realize it, but that net got hung up under my car, And I'm driving down the road with my buddies, and we're fired up about going frogging, man. We can't believe it. And we're dragging that net down the road. And people are honking at us, waving. I go, man, these are the most friendliest people around here. They're just amazing, you know. So make a long story short, I drug that shrimp net for 55 miles down the highway. All the way to Fulton, and I made web history. I'm the only one that drug a shrimp net 50 miles and never caught nothing but a lug nut. I mean, it was bad. I pull up, and the funny thing is, you know, Mickey, is when I got there to my buddy's house in Fulton, it was just hanging by one little thread. If that would have broken the highway, we never would have known what happened to that net.
That's right.
My luck had hung on there, and now I got to pay for it. And so, you know, I took it back to my aunt, and she goes, man, it's just, you know, it's frayed so much. The knots are just, you know, it's just ruined.
You didn't tell her, said, hey, could you think you can re-dip it and it'll be all right?
It was so messed up, though. But, God, that was crazy, man. I drugged that net and all the way down to Fulton.
Yeah, you're the only guy I ever knew that drug a shrimp net that far and never caught anything.
Man, it was bad. It was like Forrest Gump on his first trip. But, man, I felt so bad. You know, it was just one of those crazy things you do, you know. And so, anyway, that was crazy. And the good thing is we got a bunch of frogs. We just pushed the net aside and went ahead and licked our wounds and went ahead and went frogging, you know.
Got you frogs. That's
got our frogs, you know.
You know, I was in vampire mode, man, years back. I was going over to Sabine every day. You know, getting up early, pulling all the way over there and catching all those big trout over there when we had them so big time. And I don't know, I'm on my 20th straight day or whatever. I get in the day before, clean the boat all up and all that. And when I wash my boat, I'd always pull the anchor out, you know, just lay it over the side of the boat and clean my boat and then put the anchor back in the boat. Well, I forgot to do that. So the next morning, man, I'm all, you know, sleep drug brain and all that. Got my coffee. I get in the truck. And I pull out of the driveway, and I'm on Tri-City Beach Road headed towards I-10. And I looked out of my passenger side mirror, and I'm going, man, what's making those sparks back there? Man, am I losing a wheel bearing?
Oh, no.
It was my anchor. I done drug it about 10 miles.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I pull up. I can't believe it didn't catch on something and rip the cleat out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, come back in the boat and knock a hole through my boat. I mean, I was so lucky. I had just enough line out, you know, when I set it over the side that it, you know, it was staying behind the boat and it didn't come back and hit my motors and stuff. But going, that is just.
Yeah, that would have been bad. It bounced up and crushed your motor or hit your boat or anything. God.
That's when you're not
hit somebody.
I know a guy that. You know, we used to, when we were catching those open water fish, you'd always slide your anchor off the side and cleat it off, you know, and sit on those fish a little while. And then you'd pull it up and then just cleat it off and let it hang off the side of the boat and run your trolling motor. You get back on them, that kind of deal. Well, a buddy of mine did that one day, and he took off after a school of birds. Forgetting about the anchor hanging off the side of his boat, and that anchor grabbed, and that anchor and chain and everything came over his and his brother's head, right over the console, barely missed him, and stuck through the front of the boat. If that anchor would have hit it, it'd have killed both of them.
Killed them. Oh man,
yeah.
That's bad. Oh, that's a bad story. Oh God, how many times you get lucky and just miss it? You know, that's in my life. That's happened so many times where I do something stupid, and God goes, yeah, you got lucky there. You know, it's like, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think about things that you've done in the past and go, man, I'm still here. What happened?
Yeah. I've kissed death two or three times like that, and I got out of it. I can't believe I pulled that one out, you know. Oh, my God, you know. But, yeah, it's, but that, you know, that's what – we don't do frogging anymore, Mickey. You know, we used to go get those big bullfrogs around those ponds.
That used
ponds
to be a big deal. Nobody –
yeah.
You know, there's a few
nobody
guys
does
that
it
still
anymore.
Do it. But, man, we used to live for that in the springtime.
I remember we'd dig those frogs and we'd pitch into them. We'd take their back legs and fold them up if they weren't dead so they wouldn't jump out. You ever do that? And you kind of put
right.
them – right. Yeah. And so we had a bunch of frogs in the front seat of my LTD in a tow sack. And my buddy starts stirring around, look at those frogs, and a couple of them jump out the window at 45 miles an hour. You know, I don't know, well, those are yours, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, that those bullfrogs are something else. Are so good to eat. Golly, you know, I don't ever do that anymore. You know, I guess you get old, you kind of have to scratch some of those things out. But
you know, a private lease that Blaine and I were on forever, you know, for bass fishing and duck hunting, had three big lakes on it, and I mean, it was just a paradise for us growing up, and we were teenagers. Mm-hmm. We almost cried when they sold the place. You know, this was just a few years ago. Blaine went out there to renew our membership, and they said, "Oh, we can't renew it, man. We're selling out." So
that
went away.
That happened a few times.
We'd be out there bass fishing and had a lot of hydrilla in those lakes and everything, a lot of grass, and boy, those old bullfrogs, they'd hit a bass worm. You'd throw a purple cream worm in front of one, and they'd jump on it just like a bass. We came in one day, and we had 37 bullfrogs in the ice chest that we all caught. We caught them all on bass lures.
That's nuts.
Every one of them.
I've seen people catch them on flies, Mickey, you know, fly rod. They throw that on fly, and they catch them. Yeah. But I didn't realize they hit a bass worm. That's
nuts. Yeah, you just throw a worm up on a lily pad. Oh, they'll go crazy to get to it. You just set the hook in them like a fish and reel in a bullfrog. Take him off and throw him in an ice chest.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. You know, that was the best way to do it.
We'd frog out there at night, but the water moccasins were so bad, it was dangerous.
And those water moccasins are aggressive. I had one get in the boat with me frogging one night. I mean, they'll get in the boat with you, man. And I like to beat that aluminum boat to death, killing that snake. That was bad, man.
Yeah, don't pull the gun out.
No, man.
All right, let me knock this quick break out. I'll be right back, Cliff. Hang on a second, man. All right. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, 6:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are back, man.
All right, buddy. Well, I was going to tell you, I sent you a picture of that big 29 1/4-inch fish that weighed 8 pounds the other day. Did you see that one?
I saw that. That was a beautiful fish.
Now, what happened on that one? So I had RJ and Eli down on last Wednesday, and we were sight casting those big fish up in the grass, and their heads were in the grass. We're having a hard time getting them to hit, right?
Right.
And, so they bring their own boat. So the next 2 days, they go fish, and they've got an ibis, and, man, they love to fish shallow, really good fishermen. And I think Eli brought his brother, which they had really good fishing. So they're in a cabin. So they get up there on that spot. We caught those fish at daylight, and that big old fish is laying in about 9 or 10 inches of water on the grass. And I'm not sure if they caught it on the trout. I think they may have caught it on trout support. I didn't ask them. But they side-casted that big fish, and it was 29 1/4 and 8 pounds. And send me that picture. I'll send it to you. But that's a great fish for sight casting, you know.
Boy, he's got a head on him like Eddie Munster.
Doesn't
too,
he have
man.
A beautiful head? And that fish
big
has some weight on it.
You know? Good, right. Thick body.
Yeah, and that's exactly the same spot that James caught that fish, that 30, here, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. The same little stretch in there that those big fish are in, you know. And as soon as what's happening now, as soon as that water's coming up like it is right now, those fish are really going to get up in there. So, you know, I'm torn between fishing the surf in the bay, but the thing about the surf is
got
I don't have
a tough problem, son.
Yeah, I know. I don't have to get the boat off the trailer.
You got a tough problem, brother.
I just have these decisions I have to make. But, man, so yesterday I got Bob, my fly fisherman that fishes the jetties. And I'm telling Bob, says, man, I'm on some big fish. Let's go get them on your fly rod. And so I meet him at the place I've been seeing him about 10:30 yesterday. I fished yesterday morning, caught some really good fish yesterday morning, caught one about 5 pounds and, you know, caught some nice ones on top water. Greg did real good. Greg caught 3 trout and 6 casts on top water. But everything's right at daybreak. I mean, the first 15 minutes is it. That's what's so hard. It's just, man, you got to be there early. And then it's kind of over, and then the skipjack kind of take over, and they just don't bite. They're line shy, they're hook shy. But then about 10 o'clock, you get the deal where these fish are coming down the bar. And if it's a single fish, your chances are very low. But if this fish has a buddy, two or three buddies, they're more aggressive, you got a chance to
catch them. Yeah, they'll compete, yeah.
Right. And so I'm walking down this bar, and I've got my little tiny topwater on, and I'm showing Bob these fish. You know, he's throwing the fly at them, and they were just snobbing that fly. I couldn't believe it. You know, he's throwing a clouser at them, popper. They just wouldn't touch it. And they go by me, and I throw that little topwater out there, and they just blow it out of the water but never eat it. I probably had 11 to 12 hits yesterday that just smoke it and never touch the bait.
Right.
It's like, I guess they're full, you know, and they're just not eating. And perfect example. So Kelly and I are walking 2 days before. Kelly and I are walking down this walking beach, and we're on the second bar, and we're in waist deep, and there's no one around. And these big fish are coming down between the first and second bar. They're kind of on that edge. And you stand there real still, and you see these big old fish come down, you know, just coming down the bar, you know.
Aww.
And right in front of us, this big pile of mullet ruffle right in front of us. I mean, 10 feet in front of us. And this big trout Mickey comes right in the middle and just eats one of those mullet right in front of Kelly. And I, boom, smokes him off the top. And then the mullet kind of come around our legs. And I look down, and here's that big old toad coming right down. He's got a mullet in his mouth like
right
a cigar. Yeah, he's got a mullet like a cigar hanging out of his mouth. I said, well, we can forget that one. He's already full, you know.
Crazy.
But, you know, what you see in the surf in snook and tarpon. I'm looking offshore yesterday morning, and I get there at daylight, and I'm just going to go north of Packery to see if I see anything on the beach, you know. And I pull out, and there's like 10 or 15 boats in a circle about maybe a quarter mile off the end of the rocks. They're on a big school of tarpon right there. And I see one jump. Guy's got one hooked up.
Wow.
They stayed there about an hour and they were gone. But, you know, it's just funny how many schools of tarpon are coming by right now. And these guys are seeing them roll and pulling in and catching them. But, man, it's pretty crazy what you can see when it's flat. You see everything. You know, you just.
Yeah.
You know, in the Gulf, man. You don't realize how many fish are in that Gulf. But, and you walk down that bar, you realize, you know, you see the spotted cownose, the rays, the fish you hardly ever see before. It's like an aquarium, and that's the problem, is it's just too clear. You know, it's just hard to get a bite late in the day, you know.
But, man.
I got Barry out there fishing today, and he's going to call me when he gets on him. But the deal is, it's that first 15 minutes of light when you don't catch that big one, because they push that bait right up on the beach at night, and right at light, they're eating them, and you better be there early. So.
Well, that's kind of what predatorial fish do, is
mm-hmm.
They push everything shallow during the night, and they get it all tightened up in there and bait balls where they want it, and then they go to work mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah,
sharks,
my buddy Greg.
The same thing. I remember the first thing this lady told us one time when Plog and I, we all went to Cozumel, and we were staying in this beautiful house. I'd won a year-long trout tournament, and we got this trip for free, a week-long trip, and you know, with blue water fishing, snorkeling, diving, you know, a whole nine yards. But anyway,
yeah.
She goes, when she picked us up at the airport, first thing she told us, said, if y'all go anywhere tonight, you know, we got you a Jeep there at the house you can use. Do not go swimming at nighttime. Do not get in the water. I said, really, why? She goes, that's all I'm going to say. Do not go swimming. If you're going to swim in the pool.
Yeah, that's
yes, ma'am.
True. Yeah, it's like right now, I would not swim in the Gulf right now. I mean, on the beach at night, it's stupid how many sharks in that first and second gut in the morning. Oh, my God.
Well, that's that girl on Jaws that swam out.
Oh, no.
On a moonlit night.
Oh, man, that kind of hurts.
You watch Jaws and that, remember how that shocked everybody? Nobody wanted to go wade fishing anymore. All my customers, we don't want to wade. I said, like that. It's a movie.
But still, in the Gulf of Mexico, in the crystal clear night like that, and you swim out there the third bar, you're just asking for it. Sorry.
All you are is a big old giant topwater for a shark.
I know it, man. It's something. But we're going to have a big paddle out today. It's Saturday. Today's one of our good surfing buddies died, Donnie Anderson. And so we got about 250 surfers going to do a paddle out for him today.
Well, that is cool.
Yeah, there's people coming from all over. And
we're going to dump his ashes?
Yep, we're going to paddle and get a big circle, about 200 of us. You know, because he surfed all his life here, and he's my age. And, man, he's very passionate about the surfing and traveled all over the world surfing. And
Did you see how big that break was this week with that storm over in North Carolina?
Wasn't that unbelievable? Oh, my God. Man.
That was on fire.
Yeah, yeah. I see some of those guys that surf places like Jaws and those giant waves like that. You know, being a surfer, you realize how good a shape you got to be in to take a shot. When you eat it on top of a 60-foot wave, you're going to go down to the bottom. You know, you better be able to relax.
Fish food.
Well, you better be able to relax and hold your breath. You know, there's one guy that was, I think he'd hold his breath like 4.5 minutes, one of these surfers. And you got to have that. You know, you got to be able to have a set of lungs to be able to. You know, these little Gulf waves are, you know, I think I'm a really bad dude when I hop on one of these waves out here in the Gulf. You know, I've surfed the Pacific a lot, and I've been humbled. There's days I sit on the beach.
Oh, we used to come down your way, man, and go to Port Isabel and all that, and look how giant it is down here.
We were
Galveston Ripple Riders, man.
Yeah, Ripple Riders. Well, that's like when you go to the Pacific or something like that, you know, then you go out there and you realize, yeah, just the shore break alone knock you off your board, you know, but then you kind of get adjusted to it, and it sure makes you a good surfer when you come back home. You do a lot of traveling, you know, like my wife and I did for years. We traveled all over the world surfing.
Yeah,
it makes you better.
Mexico, the Pacific all the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and Costa Rica and California, but, you know, all that stuff. But not anymore. I'm too old. I'm enjoying my backyard. I kind of retired in a great place. You know, I got good fishing.
I know. You got the perfect setup. Ronda was going, where does Cliff live? And I said, he lives in the perfect spot. He can be at the beach in 5 minutes, or he can be at the boat ramp in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He can go either way. She goes,
I'm very blessed
awesome.
On that, buddy.
I said, why don't you let me sail out here and let's move down there.
Hey, just bring some water, Mickey. I'm telling you, dude.
Bring water.
They got everything.
I'll bring the water wagon.
You need to bring a well.
I saw a lot of people, desalinization deal fell through.
Oh, it took them 3 years to build the model, and then they decided not to do it.
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
Well, they met too much adversity. They knew it was going to be a fight till the end.
It's just unbelievable.
We went through that on Trinity Bay. They wanted to build a toxic waste dump on Trinity Bay years ago.
God.
We had that Informed Citizens United or whatever it was called, you know, this group, and we hired an environmental attorney, and I mean, it was a big deal. They were going to put that right there. Just one hurricane and it would have destroyed our bay. I mean, why they want to put things next to the water like that? But it was just prolonged death now with all this commercial stuff, all the dredging and container ports and everything they're putting in up our way. It's just our bay system's dying a slow death, man.
Oh, God, it's sad. You know what they're doing now? They're driving around and giving everybody $600 tickets for rinsing your car off or rinsing the bed of your truck out. Well, my
water,
good friend,
please, give me a break, man.
One of them got a ticket for $600 for rinsing the bed of his truck out. And so he went to court with the guy. And the judge says, you have anything to say? And he says, yes, sir. He says, when that water comes to my meter, it's my water. How I manage it is my deal. I manage it because I pay for it. How I manage it is my deal. Now, before the meter, that's your problem. You didn't manage your water very well. Because we're running out of water. So the problem is you're not managing your water. I'm managing my water.
It's not the homeowner's fault. It's the government's fault.
Yes. And it's just absolutely stupid what they're doing right now. But anyway, I won't get on that.
Didn't y'all have a mayor or something back in the day say, hey, look, man, we got an issue here. We need to redrill these wells.
Oh, yeah. It's been going on for years. They've just been, you know,
and everybody voted against it and voted against it. Well, hey, man, look where you're at now. What are y'all down to, 17% capacity or something?
Oh,
like
we're
that?
12%.
Oh, my God.
12. And then so all the businesses are shut down, so you can't build anything here right now. A lot of the people don't want to come into Corpus to rebuild stuff because they can't have any water. You know, so it's just like put the brakes. If Corpus is not slow enough, then you run out of water. It really puts the brakes on things, you know. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But a lot of the guys on the island are drilling wells, and the city won't let you do that. So you've got to sneak around and drill a well in your backyard to water your yard. But you can go down like 20
feet. Text from a listener said, this is funny. He said, if you want it fixed, tell Cliff to call Trump. He'll get it taken care of one day. That's funny.
I'll get that. Was that Baby Trump? That Baby Trump that's always going around. I call Baby Trump. Have you seen
Baby
all that?
Baby Trump.
I've called Baby Trump. He didn't get it done, you know. Oh, my God. But anyway, I just, You know, I just, that's why I fish. I just, as long as I got that rod and reel in my hand, I don't have to deal with politics. I don't turn the TV on. The best thing about that TV is don't turn it on, because the news are nothing but well-dressed liars. I mean, they don't ever tell you the truth anymore, you know? So I give up on all that stuff, man. But anyway.
I got a text from a listener. He was loving our frog talking a while ago. He goes, you can look online and they say an American bullfrog lives a maximum of 16 years, but he said, I knew a frog farmer that had a pet frog that was 30 years old.
Dadgum, a pet frog. Man.
Pet frog, pet bullfrog.
Well, I had a pet armadillo. I really can't say anything, so it's good.
Did you?
I had a pet armadillo for about 5 or 6 years named Herbert. And,
speaking
I raised
of
him
that, yeah. The other evening, my wife, after it, we're watching all these storms come, we're just sitting out on the patio just begging for rain, you know. And we're sitting out there that evening. It's about an hour before dark, and there's a big high fence area across the road from me. Well, I watched this cat come out of that high fence on that brush line and then ease across a road, hunkered down. When it first came out, I thought it was a fox, but I said, man, that's too big. Well, I said, and then my wife goes, well, that's a feral cat. And I said, no, it's too big. Well, I ran in my tackle room, got my binoculars, came back out, and right before he went in the other brush line on my side of the road, I got a look at him. It was a baby mountain lion, a young
what?
Yes,
man.
I thought at first when I got, I thought bobcat, but it was just one big kind of orange brown color, you know, all same color pattern. And when he looked at me, I saw the cat ears and the cat face, but he had a long tail, and that's all it could
unbelievable.
Be.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I mean, but it was actually bigger than a bobcat. It's a little bit taller, longer legs. And that's what it was, a young mountain lion. How about that?
That's really cool. They say if you see one, you see him for about 2 seconds. That's true.
Well,
every time I've had him,
he was real leery, man, coming across a road and looking around, and he'd get behind something and then stick his head out and look both ways and then ease across, and he was real, real leery. Mm.
And that was at your place, Mickey?
Yeah.
God,
all that,
you
all
must
the
live out in the country a little
out
bit.
Of room out there. I mean, and they come to our side of the road. Beach City is about 15, 18 miles long, and all the property on one side of the road is all TGS and, you know, commercial, where they're building all these huge buildings and everything for all these container ports. But on my side, all along the bay, it's about a half mile wide from the road to the bay. And all the animals are having to come over to our side to get food.
Oh, yeah. Golly.
Raiding everybody's chickens and whatever, you know, goats or whatever they have.
Push them out of their environment, you know.
I mean, they've been, and we don't see near the deer anymore. I don't know where they've all ended up.
Yeah.
But it's,
you know, I live out here on the island, and behind me is 140 acres of wildlife refuge. They don't build anything in there. And so when I first moved in here 30 years ago, there were quail and jackrabbits everywhere, and now there's nothing but coyotes. I just think the coyotes have just taken everything out of here, and there's no cats around the neighborhood. They get outside 2 months, they're gone. But it's funny, that little sanctuary is just full of coyotes because they live around the neighborhood, I think, and at night they go run around and get all the dog food and cat food and stuff. So it's dumpsters.
And dogs and cats.
And dogs and cats, you know. But it's funny how they've just kind of made a home out of that 140 acres. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Out there in our community, you see little posters, you know, at this country store and all that, missing dog and all that. And I said, man, that's
missing.
That was coyote food right there.
Yeah.
Don't let them out at night. I know a guy that lost a dog, you know, his little dog, in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
He got up to let it out, and it didn't come back. Coyote got it.
Yeah, that's what happens here. You'll see him. I get up in the morning to go fishing, you know, at 4 o'clock, and I'll open the garage door up here, and I'll see a couple of coyotes on the street, like right in the middle of the street here, just taking off, you know, cruising the neighborhood looking for somebody to let their cat out. So All the neighbors learn. When somebody moves in our neighborhood, which they, you know, it's a real small area. When we get a new person, we tell them, "Hey, man, you really don't want to let your cat out here, you know, at night, because you're going to lose it." It's so sad because a lot of them are the older people, and that cat means so much to them, Mickey.
Yeah,
I mean, they lose their cat. It's like their buddy. You know, so I tell them, "Look, man, just keep the cat inside till about 9 or 10 o'clock and go outside. You'll be fine. But don't let it out at 3 o'clock in the morning."
God, no.
That's not good.
It's just their environment changes, and they have to come to where the food is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the dumpsters are kind of nice. It's got like a drive-thru for them. We always see them around the dumpsters.
I'm watching a girl fixing to shoot a smoking six-point. It's not as big as mine, but it's a good one. It's
yeah, that buck of yours is something else. Oh, my God.
It's probably 110, 115-inch six-point she's going to shoot with a crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
Laughs good in the studio. Got the outdoor channel going. Got Cliff Webb on the other end. Hey, we're talking it out, brother.
Stuff, man.
Laugh is good.
You know, we got some good horns this year, looks like. You know, my God,
that's what Blaine's saying. Said his deer are looking really good. Y'all got all that rain at the right time this year, man.
Yeah. Blaine got some rain the other day, it looked like. I saw he got down there.
She just smoked that six-point.
With a rifle?
No, with a crossbow.
With a crossbow. Okay, you said crossbow.
He hit it kind of low, but I think it's going to be good.
Man. Oh, a guy sent me a I got a great video I got to send you. I forgot to tell you. So a guy sends me a video. He's in Colorado, and a home invader comes into his house at night, and his wife on the phone.
Oh, the bear.
Did you see that?
Jeff Phillips sent me that video.
Jeff Phillips, that's who it was. Yes,
did he send it to you too?
Yeah, he sent it to me too. Isn't that cool? God, that bear was in. I mean, that bear comes after him.
What did he crank off, like 7 or 8 right there in his house?
Yes, right in the head.
That bear charged him. That bear was going to get him.
That bear charged him, man. That bear was going to get him. He turned that light on that thing. His wife behind him. That bear just comes at him. He just pop, 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 pop. And that bear's laying dead in the middle of the living room. That's,
you can hear his wife in the background go, "Oh my God.
Oh my God." But
bear country.
You know, look at those claws on those bears, though. You know, Greg's got a bear skin, and those claws are razor sharp.
He'll rip you to pieces, man.
Yeah, so if he didn't shoot him, if that bear would have got to him, it'd have been over.
That would have been it. You know, we'd have seen a video of a bear mauling a man.
Oh, man.
In his underwear. With an AR-15 in his hand.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that tells you all you need to know about home defense.
That's it, buddy. That's it.
All right, bud. Well, Cliff, somebody wants to come down and go fishing with you, give them a number so they can reach you, buddy.
All right, Mickey. I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you having me on, Mickey. Thanks,
man. You better put Carol on a big fish this week. I'm going to hold you to that, brother. I want to see the photo. Sand or no sand on it. Don't wash that trout off.
I'll never wash another one off. All right. Thanks, Mickey.
All right, dog. Hey, see you, man.
Later.
All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.